snaps.
It makes me sleep too. It makes me.
Oh, really?
Coffee makes me sleep. I mean, it will put me.
My gym teacher told me that's a form of ADHD. Sign of ADHD.
I would believe that. You might want to have her tested.
You're going to turn it back down now, huh?
Not as much. But y'all were like yelling in my ear.
All right. What's the calendar for?
Pridewood and then Fallen Skies is this one.
Okay.
You ready?
Not really.
Should I tell them my story?
You can during the podcast.
During the podcast. Okay. Are we ready to get started?
Yeah.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me. I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's sure at the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Hello everybody, and welcome to Comic Pop Library, episode 26. I am Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
Logan,
and today we're going to be reviewing Pridewind from Sofa Wolf Press and Falling Skies, a TNT series. And first off is going to be Pridewind, so we'll hit that first. But first, let's take a quick break for Dodge City's promo.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So, why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. I'll be doing the first review today for Pridewind, subtitled Gods and Monsters. It is available in hardback or trade paperback. It is from Sofa Wolf Press. This was a reader copy that we received from the company that Jeff sent to us, so we appreciate that. To begin with, it was written for a webcomic, and if you're interested in going to the site, it's deadbeatgods.com. deadbeatgods.com, and that'll be in the show notes, so you can go there if you want to. At the time of this recording, when I went there was nothing new yet on the website from what was in the book that we have available that Sofa Wolf published, but she will be publishing more. The author and artist is Lynn Hogan, and there is some editing by Jason Lunum. So Jason, if I pronounce that wrong, I apologize. The main concept of this is, again, with Sofa Wolf Press, they are dealing with animals that walk upright, like we said with the Norgard when we reviewed that. So that's the main concept, but this was set in a fantasy world. And we have some debate on what some of these characters are. The first one is, of course, we do. Pridewind is the...
Unoceros.
Yeah, it is a baby rhinoceros.
It's a unicorn.
Bull crap.
And that is Pridewind they're talking about. She's a young, what I would call a unicorn
rhinoceros?
Girl.
Yeah, I know.
April says a rhinoceros.
I said a unoceros.
No,
yep, Chris
no.
is a unoceros.
Baby rhinoceros. Adult rhinoceros are big and fat, not cute.
Well, I would call her more of a, probably a
baby rhinoceros.
Tween age to early teenager.
She looks like she's seven.
No, she didn't look that young.
Oh, my bad. 8 and a half.
Okay, wait. If she's a baby rhinoceros, she's not going to be that big anyway.
Exactly. She's still little.
She's a tween.
She's 8 and a half. She's like a little girl.
This little character was cute to you, huh?
No, she kind of annoyed me.
Oh. Little kids annoy
wow.
you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh! The truth comes out. The truth comes out. Her nickname is Pride, so if I say Pride a few times, I'm referring to Pridewind. Her friend is Uric. That's how I pronounce it.
He's a rat.
I mouse. Call him as a mouse.
Not a rat. Mouse.
He's a gray-filled mouse.
That's what I was thinking.
And we got I was talking to Matt earlier, and it was a little ways into the book, but he is actually a paralegic from birth.
What? Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that until we got about halfway through the book.
Well, they don't say it until halfway through the book.
Right.
Well, there are some pictures.
Before that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, there's a picture, and I didn't notice it until I went back and looked half a dozen pages in or so. The guy's got him down on the ground with a stick, and you actually see that he has no legs below
him. Oh, okay.
He does.
I did not realize it.
No.
Yeah.
I thought those were his legs. Those are just they're just.
I said no legs.
That's what
below
I thought. I thought they were folded under him. That's what I thought too at the beginning. But when you get later on in the book, it clearly states he has no legs below the knee. That's why he's riding the creatures all the time. That's why one of the.
I'm curious to why the,
writer
decided to put that kind of a character in.
I think to give him more of a human aspect.
He's the extremely weak, extremely knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
So he's the extremely weak, but also weak in a physical sense. Not necessarily getting in trouble all the time, but he needs the rescuing. He's the person that they go rescue.
Yeah.
So I can see that. These two left the Sui, what I'm saying, Sue or Sui Monastery, in search of an ancient temple, and the location of which is provided on an ancient scroll that gives hints about where the location is, and it's in a dead language that Ulrich can piece together, most part read, probably about 80%. He can read it.
Yeah.
Because he's been in bed.
He's the scribe.
Since he's been at the monastery, and he's just been reading and studying.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. There's another character called Asmodeus. He is kind of like a bat.
Are you sure it's a boy?
Pretty sure.
Which one?
Because I'm not sure if it's a boy or a girl.
You're talking about Ulrich?
No.
Asmodeus?
Is that?
That's the bat type creature.
Bat?
No, that's the cat.
Oh.
That's Tristan.
Oh. Where's the bat?
He was the big baddie at the beginning that was hitting him around. Yeah, that guy in the top picture there. See the bat wings?
What page is that? For those that are following.
That's a dragon.
You think it could be a dragon too. Okay.
Hey, I hadn't thought
page
of that.
Four.
That's okay. I can see a dragon there.
You guys thought of a bat?
Well, the wings are kind of shaped similar to
a bat's
outline.
He's yellow.
I don't know.
So he's probably one of the main baddies. He's kind of like the general for the main baddie.
Bat.
And he's been looking for Pride One for...
Good pun, not intended.
Oh, that's so funny.
But he, for some reason, they've been looking for Pride One for several years, and they haven't been able to find her until her and Ulrich leave the monastery. And, of course, they automatically find her. One of the mages that is with Asmodeus is Tristan. And he's basically a cat.
Are you sure it's a boy?
That's a girl, I'm pretty sure.
You think it's a girl?
I was thinking it was a
female.
Tristan is the gal that does blood magic, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a girl.
That's a female.
Yeah, I think it is.
But
so when you get into
that is a female figure.
She doesn't have any breasts.
It's a cat. How do we know that's got a female figure?
It's a cat. They did it in Puss in Boots. I watched it today.
No. She has literally zero chest.
We're not promoting bestiality in the show by any means.
by a teenager, jeez.
Wow.
Starts early, doesn't it?
That's why I said chest.
It's a female.
I was thinking female, but hey.
I don't know. I think it's both.
Which is possible in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
I guess I equated her as a witch doctor, which female.
That's kind of
at first
I
thought it was a girl because she said she shared the prince's bed. But then she's like...
Not like Aborigine witch doctor, Indian witch doctor.
Fat.
But anyway.
But she's fat, so she looks like a guy with long hair.
And I think that's some of the fun with these characters.
Yeah,
is that
maybe
because
they
are in animal form, sometimes you're left guessing of what the sex is. Because we did that with
really
Nordgard too, with Pi.
Yeah. But is it really that important?
I figure that was a girl.
It is very important.
In the storyline.
Yes, because... The cat said that it shared the prince's bed. So I don't know if this prince is gay or not.
It's possible. Well, if it's a male animal.
It is important.
You could say.
For me to know this.
The homosexual tendencies, but.
I don't know.
You don't know.
That's part of the interesting part of the book.
They leave it unclear. The author leaves it kind of.
Well, it's important for me
for the
know
reader
that
to interpret how they want to interpret it.
Yeah. Okay. Next character.
Let's see. The story opens, like we kind of mentioned, Ulrich and
very
Pridewin
confusing
getting captured by Asmodeus.
So confusing.
You're right. It kind of opens right on the action.
I had to start reading this over again. Like, I looked at the first page, and then I just closed it and put it down because I didn't know what was happening, so I didn't care. And then I had nothing to read, so I had to read it.
And one of the things with the first page, there's no text. It's just straight into the action where they're getting knocked down on the ground
kinda
by
like the next thing we're going to
the
review.
Troopers and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I do not like that.
Yeah. So it is kind of a jarring opening for those not used to jumping in right into the middle of the action. Maybe some video gamers are used to that because there
I'd
are
like
some games that you just go drop
Crisis
right into
is
the
like
action.
Yeah. Oh. Crisis, you go jumping
dragons.
Out of a plane into,
right.
into
the
country.
Middle of the.
Oh, Logan,
the
they are
yeah.
dragons.
Yep. Worms is another word for wyverns or dragons, yeah.
Right.
True.
That's
Bam.
A great call, too.
So
I was right.
called this is a dragon. April was right on that one.
Good call. Good call.
Don't know about Pride when I still think it's a unicorn.
Rhinoceros.
Yeah.
Right. I know. That's what I was thinking, too. Rhinoceros.
When we get further into the book, we have Solon. He is a what I consider another unicorn man.
Isn't he a horse?
I saw a horn, I thought, on the top of
from it. From what it looked like, it looks like some kind of horn. At first, I thought it was like that's the way his hair was styled or something.
Right,
but
then
later on, you kind of
still see it.
But
yeah.
it's not quite the same as hers because it doesn't come out of the middle of like
yeah.
his forehead.
Yeah, I'd
it's
call him
higher.
A unicorn because he's got a beard like a billy goat.
And he has more.
That's why it's a unicorn. It has a beard like a billy goat.
No, he
so
has more of a facial feature of like a horse.
Right.
But
where
sh-
she
unicorns
does not.
Are. Yeah, she has
exactly.
the face of a rhinoceros. That sounds so mean.
But this, we find out eventually through the storytelling, this is one where the story develops and you learn the backstory as you go further into the story.
Right.
So if
go
you're not used
the
to
flow.
Right, you have to go with the flow. If you're not used to that type of story, be prepared because it is going to be a little confusing at some points. But Solon, he actually dropped Pridewin off at the monastery so that she would be hidden and kept safe. And he's been out of the picture for probably 10
her
years.
Whole life.
Her whole life. However old she is.
Yeah, 8 and a half.
And then all of a sudden he's back into it. So he's been close by, kind of keeping watch on her as well.
Kind of like her protector.
Right.
Which and he does end up rescuing her there at the beginning.
True, they kind of get captured by Asmodeus. They go to his camp. He comes in, rescues them, puts them on like a
bird.
Big old
bird.
Chicken hawk bird.
Some
chicken hawk.
Kind of really giant bird. Actually, the bird reminded me of the ones from Final Fantasy VII.
Chocobo?
Oh, okay.
If anybody gamers will exactly know what I'm
are
talking about.
Are those yellow?
They're all different colors.
Actually has him as the main character.
Logan.
Yep.
Are some of them yellow?
Yes.
That's the main color. Because
they
yeah.
remind me of ducks. That's what I thought they were.
Yeah,
like,
they're ducks in an ostrich body.
If they are, if they remind you of anything at all close
it's
to in real life, it should be ostrich. Because that's
yeah.
basically the...
Does it have a long neck?
Thing. It's either ostrich or roadrunner that
I thought
should
it was
remind
like a
you
duck.
That's in the Final
roadrunner
Fantasy
as in the
game.
Yes,
and roadrunner as in the cartoon, not the little guys in the real life.
but
this
yeah,
bird creature is more fuller. It's more stocky.
Yeah.
And they ride it almost like a horse.
He reminds me of an emu.
Yeah, emu.
Yeah,
ostrich.
I want one of those. And a
big giant bird. Right.
And they go across this bridge that's shaky and falls, and they get to this mystery forest, and they just find rain, or
it's
she
the
finds them. And to me,
the Amazon.
I might be wrong again, but I'm calling her a mouse, young mouse woman.
She's a ferret. No, I'm kidding.
Is she the rat?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. I haven't looked at it.
I'm looking at it.
Jeff, we might be needing your help on these two.
wow, what is
or
she?
Land,
yes,
she
please, someone.
Yeah, she's like a mouse.
But she is from a tribe that's kind of in this magical forest-type area, and they believe that Uruk is a priest because he can read the scrolls, and they take Pridewin to their protector, which
is
I don't know how
rat.
Much to give. It's basically a giant rat. What'd you call it? Demigod?
Demigod.
Yeah.
I thought he was the god.
He also has horns.
No, because he says he's a demigod.
He's a god in
yeah,
human
I believe.
Form.
Yeah.
He's the kid of the Wanderer
demigod.
While the Wanderer was run wandering around
form.
The mortal realms. Nah, he's a demigod. Kid yeah. of the Wanderer and some random mortal gal.
Had a child. Had
yeah.
him.
And as we continue to read it on, Pridewin goes to visit with him while Uruk is taken by rain to go to a different section. We discover a little bit of Uruk's background where he's actually of some type of royalty.
Who?
And they just dumped him off at the monastery because
of
he
being
was
malformed.
Be malformed.
I thought he was just rich.
Well, it's either rich or some type of royalty or some type. So, and we find out that, but he's been dumped at the monastery because of his malformity, as Matt said. And then we get further into it, and we discover Prydwen's sister, or half-sister. I can't remember.
Maybe half-sister.
Was she actually her sister, or is that just, like, metaphorical?
I'm not sure, and this is at this is towards the very end of this book,
right,
where you start discovering a lot of this.
They're both the kids of a god and a human, as far as I know. That's
where it was kind of confusing, or left it up to your interpretation,
so
and maybe what will come in the next
book.
With
Percy Jackson, like, you could call the people at the camp brothers and sisters, because they have the same type of parents, but they're not actually...
You're right.
It's siblings.
It could be metaphorical.
And that's how I read it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's
I'm pretty
possible.
Sure she's at least half sister, probably sister.
It doesn't really look like her.
But then we have a big to do at the end.
Because. No, go ahead.
No, it's fine.
No, I was just like.
No. No. No, it's fine.
Wow. She is on par tonight.
It's all right. Go ahead.
You're going to let a little 14-year-old smack your out, Chris?
He did.
Yeah.
Must have been a long day for Chris.
It was a long week.
Long week. At the end of the book, not to give all of it away, there's a big to-do between the sister and Prydwen, which leads directly into the next volume. I have no clue how long that's going to take, because, like I said, this is a webcomic first, and then it's getting published into print form. And as I said, I went to the website. It only went to the end of this book. There's no further story, I'm pretty sure. But one of the things I did notice with the webcomic between the print on the night scenes, I don't know about any of you, but for me it was a little difficult to see the artwork. It was almost like it was too dark.
Yes. Yeah,
if you didn't have bright lights, because I was reading in regular lit room, which, you know, a house doesn't have the fluorescent lights like we do here. And some of the imagery, especially with Solon being...
Who?
Solon, the black unicorn.
Okay.
You couldn't really distinguish him sometimes from the shadows, which could be intentional because she wanted it that way, or is
well,
it just the way
she wanted
it was
to bring
rendered?
More some mystery to the character.
Right. Okay. Okay. I see
and
that.
And the Kismeti mage is a boy.
Answers that question.
What page? Yeah.
Logan's been flipping through.
82.
82. I'm on 75.
Yeah.
82.
Because the one guy's call him the Kismeti slave and all that stuff. And
if you think about it, in fantasy type stories or medieval stories, it's not unusual for that, you know, royalty to have many people within his harem, both female and male. Mm. So,
because he kind of looks like the chick kind of reminds you of him.
Oh, that gal that's talking to the wanderer there.
Except she doesn't have dark.
She's the same species, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Well, the god of the Kismeti species, quite possibly.
Whatever, now I don't care. It got too confusing.
One of the things, did you want to, Chris, you said you wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit on the story too? Or you had some comments about it?
Theory as to what she is?
Oh, well, no, I haven't. Oh, no, I don't know.
Talk about indecisive.
On.
Wow. Said it's been a long week.
What are you trying to figure out? What is what?
The Prydwen?
What Prydwen actually is, and not as in what she looks like, as in is she... Because they talk about her being special in some way, but never...
How special is she?
Well, she's that's what we want to know.
And the one
and is she
guy that took Leviathan as his wife after killing or sending down the original husband who cursed Leviathan. And the one guy, so the spawn of them would come back to haunt the one guy. So I'm guessing that they're their guy's child.
I have no idea what he just said.
It's pretty rambled right there together, but I kind of got the gist.
Well, I guess the question is,
do you remember the story the one guy, the elder told her of the gods?
Yeah, the story where the gods were coming down and procreating.
No, that was a short bit on how he came to be. This is before
he was
that.
A demigod,
right?
We know that for sure. The question is, and I think this was intentional by the Lynn.
Well, I'm pretty sure
that Logan. She was left to be a mystery for the future volumes to be clarified more and more.
To whether or not she's a demigod or
a full-fledged god.
Full-fledged god living here or what.
Go to page 54.
I'm already there.
They're whispering with each other.
I don't know
hard
why.
To do with mics.
It is. It's kind of weird.
You see that dolphin chick?
Yeah, and that's Leviathan.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And then the rabbit. Mm-hmm. And the other chick. And then the guy.
There's a point to this?
Behind her looks exactly like that guy in the forest.
What page are you on?
Yeah,
the one where she was talking to the god in the forest.
Where y'all thought he's a demigod and he's actually a god.
Yeah, he is a god. And he says he is.
Hold on, are you thinking of the guy that she met before going to the elder or the elder himself?
I don't know that.
The guy before she met the elder is the one she was talking about.
The guy before she met the elder, yeah, that's a god.
Yes,
yeah, that's
he,
a god.
Yeah,
that's
he
what
even
I was
says,
talking about.
He says he's a god. He even told her he was a god.
That's what I was talking about.
And then this guy.
Then y'all said, no, he's a demigod.
I'm pretty sure
thought
you were talking about
elder.
This guy, the elder.
Oh, no.
And he is a demigod.
Yeah,
he
literally states it.
Yeah. See, I was right.
So
in
you
your
can
own
tell
mind
by
you
this is actually a fairly simple story laid out, but you can see how it can be interpreted several different ways.
And it gives you a
list
of
discussion.
A fairly comprehensive list of what animals there are. Sheep, dragon, unicorn, rabbit, the rat, and cat, and dolphin.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that she's a descendant, at least, of the dolphin and dragon.
It's possible you're right. I can't remember all that. You're looking straight at the page. So
yeah,
I'm trying to go from memory, which is kind of shoddy anymore.
Because
join the club.
Has been cursed the ones that came from them to come back to haunt the dragon guy. And he's been hunting her.
Okay.
Interesting.
Ooh, that would put a spin on it if her and the dragon were related. Okay.
Pretty sure.
Oh, so you could interpret. And it's the same as the other one that they, you know, the Noragard. There's a lot left for interpretation, which can appeal to a very broad range of people.
Which makes your
head
hurt.
what they want to read. Because you can read it straight through, take it for what, you know, it kind of is written and drawn. Or you can really read it and look at it.
And philosophize.
And yes.
Right.
And kind of draw your own conclusions and see where you're at.
And with these, like I said, the storyline's really simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of wording. It's
I thought it was
sparse.
Really hard.
The artwork is kind of a mixture between Japanese style and American style, maybe.
There's a lot of big talk bubbles that just sound like textbooks.
When
like when she's talking to that demigod and he's giving her all this, history lesson. Sounds like it's out of a textbook. And then I just want to go to bed.
Yeah, it's basically out of religious text.
Like,
yeah?
That's so not.
And that's just one other way to read in the backstory for the characters.
Right.
But again, this is mainly computer artwork, I believe. Since it is a webcomic, I'm pretty sure she probably does it all on the computer and uploads it when she's done. And all the coloring. Because on the webpage, there are some pages on the deeper archive that are in black and white. So I'm not sure if she went back and colorized it so that it could be done in color for Supple Wolf. I'm not sure about that.
Hey, you ever thought about something?
I thought
about
a lot of things
all the time.
What if, see that purple headband?
Mm-hmm.
What if that horn is just glued to the headband and she's pretending to be a baby rhinoceros? She's actually a, I don't know, what is that, pasty white kid? That could happen.
So you're saying it's purely for decoration?
It could be a cliffhanger.
That's where she puts her hat when she's not wearing it on her head.
She doesn't wear a hat.
Hang your sunglasses. You'd never lose them. Hang your sunglasses there.
But doesn't it look like that? Like,
who knows?
It's just part of her headband.
Yeah, it just slips over.
Who wears a headband if you have a horn?
Apparently she does.
Well,
it's retarded.
You have to stylize and accessorize and all that good stuff.
You don't have a horn, you wouldn't know.
Exactly. Well,
you probably
they're on the side of her head, not in the middle.
Exactly.
I got a tail. Everyone has a tail. It's so cool. It's like little turtles. Except you can't see it.
Oh wow. The things we talk about. I think we should
True. Let's have the April show. but grade-wise, I would be comfortable, I think, with
Do you mean like 10? School grade?
Well, no. Yeah.
Well, age-wise.
I don't know. I would have to go a little older than that, Richard, just because of the whole religious sort of aspect to it. The whole god, demigod. Yeah, because
I'd
I don't think
like sixth grade and up, whatever age range that is.
11, 12.
Okay, 11. 12. No.
I would say somewhere in that. Maybe a preteen that's, you know, that tween age that kind of can grasp that a little bit more, maybe. And it kind of up to them, but
I'll say
somewhere in that
high.
Range.
Yeah,
junior high-ish.
My age ranges sometimes are skewed because April and Logan, they were...
We don't give a crap what we read.
Way above their
we're
age
read
level
it.
In reading, so they began reading some stuff ahead of time. So
so we were reading about from kindergarten?
I would have trouble. I don't think my daughter, who's sixth grade, would understand the story that well.
Well, seeing my sixth grade reads Percy Jackson, so that's when you really hit hard on the
yeah.
gods.
And she may get into
Greek.
That later in this year. But
that's what we focus on in sixth grade, so that's why I say sixth grade and up, because they'd understand this.
Yeah, okay. could possibly.
I think my son could read it, but I don't know if he'd understand it.
How old's your son?
Reading it's not a problem.
And that's why I said that the simplistic story, I think the younger ages could probably handle, but it's that other part that we've been talking about where you can read into it more with the religious text, with the philosophical text, subtext. That would take an older
right.
person or somebody of a more mature reading level.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the artwork, I think, will grasp
awesome.
The kids.
And it's got big so. Bubbles.
She can't get past the big word bubbles.
With big letters so that they can read it.
Easy reading.
Yep. Mm. My mom.
Yeah, it was not difficult to read at all.
Once you got past that first page. Took me 2 tries.
And sometimes that's the way it is with books.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes, I think I had to
that page where
reread a few things in some books. That
I had to
about.
Force myself to turn the page when
couldn't
I finally read
couldn't
this.
Couldn't get past just the action.
No.
Oh.
Like my
I
face is like,
good.
All right, let's read this. Open them. Like, my face dies. I'm already bored.
No, great.
Oh, God.
Zombie April.
But then you start reading it, and you get into it, and it's okay.
How much is a copy, do you know?
We'll find out here real fast, April.
Because you can get it from Sofa
Wolf.
$19.95.
From Sofa Wolf.
Including
yeah, trade paper.
Shipping and tax. I don't know if they charge for shipping or not.
They probably do.
I don't see the Canada price, though. Canadians are screwed. I can't tell you the price.
No offense to any of you Canadians.
No.
That may be listening.
That may or
I
not
don't
be listening.
But we'll say this is good for a sixth grade audience. If there might be a few that might not grasp it if they're still at a lower reading level. But for most sixth graders, I think this worked out good. I enjoyed it.
As did I.
I will be donating my copy to the library, and they'll be processing it. So it'll be available on interlibrary loan in a short while from our library.
I believe ours is going to donate it. We're going to donate it to ours, too, in the sense of keeping it and
right.
let it out and see what happens.
True.
I'm going to try and keep
we
tabs
should do
on
a
it too
test.
A little bit just to see if anyone does check it out.
We should do a test and see if we're right on age range.
Oh.
That'd be cool.
That'd be hard to do.
I know. I wouldn't do that. You guys would do that because I don't want to do that.
Well, I can tell you right now, ours will probably go in the teen area, so I can tell you most teens are going to read it.
Well, duh. You put it in the teen area.
Yep.
That's what's going to
happen. Because I doubt it'll go in the adult.
That is
and it won't
no,
go in the children's section.
It won't go in the adult graphic novels.
Yeah,
it'll definitely go
teen
in the teen.
Yep. Ageistist decision.
No, teen section. But
is that the word?
What was that again?
Ageistist. There's prejudice. Is there ageism?
Ageism, okay.
I wouldn't necessarily call our library ageism.
Oh,
or any library for that matter.
Ageistist.
Oh, this is great.
But I want to say thank you again to Jeff for providing this as a read copy. I enjoyed it. Some of us enjoyed it a little less than others, and it will be getting out to the public, and I will probably continue purchasing this for the library when the next issue comes out.
Awesome.
Any word on when that next issue is going to come out?
Nope.
Not at the present time.
Okay.
As I stated earlier, the last page in the book was the last page that was on the internet page.
Okay.
So this was a 100-page book, and she put out roughly a page a week, I believe it was. Sometimes 2, sometimes 3, just depending on how much time she had to work on it. So it will probably be
couple of months.
At least a year,
yeah,
probably with that type of schedule.
Oh, that
she's
takes
gotta
forever.
Do it for the web page,
so she's going to do all 100 or however many comics that actually is and then just throw them up on the web all at the same
does
time.
Does she get paid for putting stuff on the internet?
Like each week, she'll come up with another page.
Oh, okay.
She does get paid for the books, probably.
Then next week she'll work on page 102, and then when the 200 is reached from 101 to 200, Sofa Wolf will probably grab it again. And
I think she should do a chapter a week.
Well, this, you know, doing this is not...
You know, it would be interesting to have someone come on and talk about their process of creating something like this.
And
as, like, a reader of, like, if I was reading that, like, being up to date, it would be really slow getting a page a week. Like,
well, I'm currently trying to work with Lynn to see if we can possibly do an interview with her. So if we do, if that comes about, we can definitely ask her some of those questions in her work process.
Sounds really hard.
It
gotta think of questions.
It takes time. Let's see, to continue on, we had some email this time. This one is from Christina Bloom. Hope I pronounced that right, Christina. She is the marketing director for Exploration Place in Wichita, Kansas. She just wanted to touch base with us again about the Star Wars exhibit. So just to mention that real quick again, it will be ending on September 3rd, which I know will be passed by the time you hear this, but on September 29th, the new exhibit coming in is Videotopia. It's Game Time. It is a traveling exhibit, and it is basically a history of video gaming from the 80s and maybe into the 90s a little bit.
Do they bring
the actual games?
You will have actual arcades there.
Classic
whether you
Nintendo.
Can actually
can
play them or not,
play
will probably depend.
Actual arcade games?
Probably depends on what it is and
play Pac-Man.
How fragile it is.
Atari 2600.
The tabletop one?
That's the only
Pong.
That's the only one I'm good at. Pac-Man, and then I get really scared. I get really scared when I play Pac-Man.
That'll be interesting.
So we'll try to possibly schedule in a media day event for that again with her and see if we can get down over there and see what's happening at Exploration Place
again.
I'm
going to go this time.
Well, if we can get you there.
I'm not going to sit at the house being bored again.
School time.
Oh, okay. Doesn't bother me.
Out of school.
If you do have an email, please email us with either comments, suggestion, questions, anything at all, even just saying hi at admin@comicpoplibrary.com or suggestions@comicpoplibrary.com. We'd be glad to read them on the air. Contribute to the show. We enjoy getting them. Next up, we continue on with Falling Skies, and Matt is going to take lead on this one.
Falling Skies. It's on TNT at 8 o'clock on Sundays.
You know, whenever I hear that, like, whenever I watch that channel or, like, hear the name, I think of TNT Dynamite, and then, like, my head all of a sudden starts saying,
I'm
still talking.
Chris muted that out. She still kept running talking. That was great.
Because I'm going to get my point across.
He's getting ready to do Fallen Skies, and you're talking about Dynamite. Jeez.
Don't you guys think of that?
Of those who don't know, April is actually blonde.
Whenever I hear that, I'm like, TNT, Dynamite, and then I go on.
Okay.
She got it in there anyway, Chris.
She got it in.
Okay, Fallen Skies.
It stars Noah Wiley. I know they're in season 2 at the moment. I should have went back and rewatched season 1.
It stopped when we wandered into the
going. Hush.
We'll get to there.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
And season 1 is available on, you know, Amazon on DVD. I think it's been out for a little while, and
it's on TNT.com. You can watch the latest episodes there. So
yeah, you can watch some of season 2 on there. It stars Noah Wiley. He is kind of the main character in the show. What is interesting about this show is, and me and Chris have talked about this a little bit, was that, you know, most movies or shows, they start out, there's a little bit of what the characters are about, then some event happens. This does involve aliens. There's no thrills attached to that one at all. But usually there's an event that happens.
Alien invasion.
Oh.
It's an alien invasion.
Why can't I hear myself?
Because he turned you off.
I know.
Where this Thank starts you. Out, and I don't quote me, I do believe it was 6 months after the invasion happened. And Noah Wiley's character is in what they call the Second Massachusetts. Second Mass for short.
They're in Massachusetts.
This is the guy that was in Armageddon, right?
No, Wiley?
I was thinking of Weaver.
ER.
Never mind. Sorry.
No. ER was his big starring, one of his big starring
and
TV roles.
If you're
roles.
Of the library community. The Librarian, which is not the best show in the world.
No, it's not. It starts out 6 months after the invasion happens, and they are basically, you want to call them a militia, a foreign militia, army, however you want to say it, of survivors that have come together to fight the aliens and try to survive.
And it's pretty grim.
Yeah, it's a pretty grim.
Right. I don't think so.
A post-apocalyptic event. You know, these aliens have pretty much destroyed everything. The show starts out with Nola Wiley and a group on top of a building looking at some creatures called, they call them skitters.
But that's skitters. Their name for
them. That's their name for these creatures. And they're six-legged creatures running around.
Superhuman strength, superhuman senses.
And they're looking at children that have.
They can scale walls.
What they call a harness on their back. Yeah. And what that does is basically turn the children kind of into
slaves.
I want to say. Mm-hmm. And one of his children has been harnessed.
His name
and
is Ben.
Ben is his name. Who they're
I
trying
have a classmate
to rescue.
Named Ben.
She is just not on task. Wow. That's kind of how the show
Shout
starts out.
Out.
The oh, my Lord. The rest of the season is pretty much building of the characters and events that happen.
And
they learn how
skitters.
To
them hunting skitters, trying to fight back. They introduce several characters throughout the first season.
They kind of alluded to that if you get harnessed, that you eventually turn into...
Right. In season one,
the
they
skitter,
actually
yeah.
capture a skitter alive and end up killing it.
Yeah.
They say that a couple times they said that they're very hard to kill because their skin is very thick and very tough, and it's really hard for them to kill them
it's
with
like
a bullet.
Metal, pretty much.
No, one of the other things mech. You see, they're mechs that they call them walking around, and they are bipedal and walk upright and kind of look like the... Have you ever played the game Mech Warrior? I don't know if you ever remember that game. They were armored suits that walked around, had big guns, blew up everything.
Oh, no. When I saw those, I thought of
I thought of the Terminator.
RoboCop.
Yeah. Looked very similar to RoboCop, too. Right. Yeah. Not RoboCop himself, the other thing they tried to
The biped robots.
Right. And they have a hard time killing them because, well, our bullets can't penetrate. And the whole, more or less, season goes through them trying to survive.
Do you talk about
how to
I don't want
to
kill
the harnesses without
you might mention the berserkers because they do play a pretty big role.
That's part of where they it's a group that's formed inside the second mass. They call themselves the berserkers, and they are kind of the group that goes out and scouts and hunts.
They're not
on
the most friendly term with the second mass, but they do play a
right,
role.
And they play a lot more. They play a lot more of a role. It's a group of people.
Are you sure they're in the first season?
They are in part of the first season. I can't think what the guy's name is. The guy they rescue.
Yes,
Pope is part of the berserkers. He's
the
leader
of
the berserkers.
Oh, okay, wow.
And it's kind of like I want to say a platoon underneath the second mass. They still take orders.
I thought they were just a group of thieves.
They are pretty rebellious.
Yeah,
they pretty much are. But they join them. They come along.
Whatever.
Towards the end of the season, they find that they have created a government in
Charleston.
Charleston. Thank you.
Say what now?
Whoa, you're in two.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's season
two. Is that
two?
Season two? I thought that was the beginning of end of season one. Oh, that.
Whoa.
Sorry. I jumped
Where's
ahead.
You don't remember what the ending of season one
I jumped
is.
Ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to ruin it.
Well, we're going
is
to anyway because I want to talk about season two.
That begins season two. At the end of season
Charleston,
one.
North
what
Carolina.
State is
yes,
that?
Yeah. North Carolina.
Okay.
And they're in Massachusetts.
Oh,
damn. But that's at the
wow.
beginning of. That's at the beginning of season two. And I should have watched season one again. So I know what I'm talking about.
Sorry. Radios can mess with their heads.
No one else but me and Chris have actually watched season two.
Here's
so.
What has. I'm gonna. Can I go ahead and go into my personal?
Well, there's
go
some
ahead.
More in season one that.
Right. Well,
that happens.
What I say, we'll go into your season
Pope
one.
Pope is kind of. He's kind of an interesting character in this. He's a thief, kind of rebellious.
He's not quite a thief. Whatever. He's just.
He's a gangster.
But, oh, he is.
He's a
but he's
actually
he's
very military.
He's very knowledgeable, and he basically
Street
takes
knowledge.
Some of the mechs that they've killed and creates bullets so that they can fight. They end up rescuing.
He gets shot in the leg.
What is Noah Wiley's character's name?
I've
drawn a blank.
Dad.
Yeah, that's
the
They actually rescue his son Ben, and they figure out how to deharness him along with another child.
No, that Ricky was before Ben. Before Ben.
Yeah.
They find out how to deharness them and have the children survive.
But they screwed up on Ricky.
Oh no, they did perfectly well. He was just
not really, and kind of.
Well, him and Ben were too far along.
Ben is
kind of still far along, and you kind of find out at the end of season one, this is kind of, they're trying to take back Boston, and they try to form a raid and blow up these giant towers that look like they're mining or doing something.
Tom Mason.
Thank you.
Why?
Would that be the
mason jar?
Yes.
Is that the actual dude's name that invented that?
In the process of doing this, a lot of stuff happens when they go to do this raid and blow up these towers, that they find out a lot of things, like the Skidders are collecting like wire and copper and things of that stuff, natural resources.
And that the Skidders are harnessed as well.
Well, and they find out the Skidders are harnessed as well, and they kind of go, well, who's controlling the Skidders?
The tall aliens.
Well, then they find these ones. They end up calling them fish heads, and they kind of look like a fish.
I like what you said. They were more overlords.
Well, they end
do
up.
Do they actually call them that?
They do in season two. They refer to them as overlords.
See, no. When I first saw them, I'm fish glad heads. You said it was fish heads, because when I first saw them, I was like, you know.
Season two, they say that.
Angler, it's kind of. To me, it almost looked like a shark's head.
Yeah, something similar
so
to that.
So it kind of makes sense now that
very,
you're saying
very
fish,
tall.
So
and
I just thought it was tall.
You have to understand that when you're watching the show, that the Skidders control the harnessed children, but they
through
never
telepathy,
through telepathy.
Through the
later
radio
on
waves.
Radio waves.
Yeah, through radio waves, you kind of figure that. Yeah. Out. Yeah, later on, you see that the spikes that are still in Ben end up lighting up when he is.
Well,
that's season
with
two.
Skidders. And this is later on, I said. You'll find out in season two.
Well, I'm going to.
So then stop talking about it.
No, there's some really cool stuff that happens in season two.
Here's the thing. Season two is now over. So if you haven't seen season two, season three is going to be coming up and you're already behind.
I don't watch it on TV. We're too busy.
Well, you can watch it at TNT.com. I know you guys have internet at the library.
I'm not going to get on that .com plays, whatever you call them.
URL.
TNT.
I like the show. I saw the previews,
so
and
funny.
it kind of grabbed my attention, because as I said at the beginning, there's no real this happened, now we're doing this. It was, we're doing this, why is this all happening? And you kind of had to build the backstory of some of the characters of the event that happened, and they've never actually said what happened.
So it's kind of like,
and this was like,
you know, did the aliens come? Did they bomb us? Did they just start attacking? Did, you know, what happened?
And this is where Chris was kind of alluding during the Pride Win review that what we were going to talk about was the same way he was talking about Fallen Skies.
But how
you're dropped right in the middle of the story almost.
Yep.
Okay, but you know how Pride Win started out with them waking up, getting clobbered, whatever? The Fallen Skies started out with a lot of pictures and it was moving slowly so that. You weren't
pictures,
so that you weren't jerked into all the action, and feel like you missed something. Where I wish they'd at least seen them walking down the road or something.
A little bit
with the kids' drawings at the beginning.
Because I was like, well, through Pride Win, you kind of are getting the history as the story progresses. Right. But if you want to consider that the history, then that's because I was going to say, if you actually don't pay attention to the beginning of that first episode. You should go back and watch it, because if you don't, then you don't get any history, because they don't go into what happened through the through the progression of the series.
Even in second season?
No.
Wow. Okay.
It just keeps moving.
You still don't know what happens in the second season. What happened at the beginning? That
I don't really care.
I believe the first season they talk about in the first episode, they talk about it being 6 months after the invasion. So it's not like they've been years fighting this. It's a very relatively short period of time that they're still fighting the aliens.
But they destroyed every town and every city, so something huge had to happen 6 months.
There's a whole lot of aliens.
I don't really mind not knowing, though, because All I need to know is that the aliens are there. And we're killing them.
It's a good story. I really did enjoy it.
It's funny.
Yeah, and there's some funny stuff that happens.
No, not what they say, but like the technical stuff is so funny.
We mean technical.
Okay, you know how the guns have straps and they put it on their back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Put them on upside down.
Safety reasons, usually you put a rifle up into the air.
Oh, so and
they're putting it down. I'm like,
you got to remember, most of the people are not military people.
It's so special.
That this is more like a militia that is formed that are not, they're not trained.
I can't wait till some
of them shoots themselves or something. I'm going to laugh my butt off.
Mason should have been killed a couple of different times because he's given up his weapons left and right in the first season. He's like, I'm unarmed. Let's talk.
He does that when he finds Pope.
Well, he
should have died there.
Yeah.
Because Pope, the crew that Pope was actually in charge of was kind of crazy.
Tom's a big softy.
He is.
He needs to grow a spine.
He
kind of does towards the end of the first season.
Okay. They tell him he was a professor.
Yes. Yeah, a history professor.
I'm dying to say this, dang it.
Okay, say it.
Do not start watching Fallen Skies at episode 7 because it will turn you completely away from the series. Because
what's episode
there are
seven
some
about?
Episode within episode 7, you find that there are some
humans,
people desperate to get out of the situation that
they're in. Oh, I remember
that.
In order to get out of the situation, they basically barter with children.
Yep.
They give them their kids to become harnessed laborers so that. In return, the Skitters will leave them alone.
That was one of my favorite
episodes. One of them is a military guy.
It's a good episode if you know the backstory of the other 6 episodes.
Yeah,
but
I
Chris
saw that
jumped into that one
last year when it first came out, and I was done. I'm like, man, I do not care to hear about human trafficking.
Yeah, it was interesting how they
especially kids.
They let Ben go alone. They found that nice a place. They let Ben go alone without weapons, and they knew he had already been harnessed. Ben didn't get caught. What?
And we're still talking about the same show, Sanctuary, the episodes.
And Tom.
Yeah.
And
he plays the piano. It's like, you're trying to hide and you're playing the piano.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was kind of,
strangle her to
keep quiet. Well, they made it sound like this was the perfect place, that they weren't looking for him here for whatever reason and this and that. And they really played that up. That's kind of why that episode.
Like, honestly, we were like, throughout the episodes, we were picking at all the retarded
some of the
stuff
that
was
stuff
happening.
That
like, oh, that's movie magic, too.
Yep. And it's like any other show.
The alien weird overlord people actually at least bluff that they can control the guys that were once harnessed.
They might, because the
tentacle
things
are still that's a little bit. That's a little bit in season two.
It's more into
season one that they bluffed it.
Well, they get more into it.
Kind of. And what to ruin it for you when you get into season one, the end of season one, Mason goes into the alien spaceship.
Yeah.
Okay, season two starts off 3 months later.
Oh, that sucks.
So there's 3 months of something that happened that you have no idea what happens. And in that episode,
does he have a bald head?
He has flashbacks.
Why?
Because they could have shaved it off and stuck stuff in his head.
No, he doesn't.
No, they just did the regular probing, you know.
Okay.
The normal alien stuff?
I don't know.
No.
And all the older
they
listeners
do actually
will understand that one.
They do actually, as you progress through season two, flashback to what happened in the ship.
Right.
And then then you meet the I'm going to give it away. They meet the rebel Skitter.
Right.
I was going to say with that, I can see them doing that to a degree because you'll be like the rest of the people. What's going on with him? Is he still with us or has he been
right?
Burned?
And that's a big play in season two as to whether or not he is been brainwashed, being controlled by the overlords in some way in season
two. That
just
makes me tired.
They progress on that whole being in the alien spaceship and what's happening their thing. There's a lot of other stuff. You find out about the rebel Skitters that have found a way to fight. All right,
we got it.
The
yep.
overlords and butt head.
No, keep talking because you know what? You guys are behind. Everybody else is ahead of you.
If you like, I will tell you, if you like season one, you'll love season two also. It just progresses right on. there is a, I'm not going to ruin it, there is a major cliffhanger at the end of season two.
Ruin it! They want us to ruin comics for people by telling them the ending. Ruin the show!
No, what we're currently reviewing, we're not reviewing season two. No,
we're
season
a one. Review.
But
kind
of like season one left you with a left you with a cliffhanger, you know, of what's going to happen.
So
to
does
Tom,
season two.
So does season two with a major cliffhanger too.
I don't care if I know that.
So
you just said we're reviewing Fallen Skies. You didn't say Fallen Skies season one.
Well, we are. So get over it and talk about season one.
I suspect season. Chris just went to turn around. I definitely suspect that season two will probably be on DVD shortly. I know you can pick up season one. This is definitely one. There is a lot of violence.
But it's not bloody violence.
You know,
some
not bloody
there
violence.
Is some.
There is some, right, but it's not.
But not.
It's not like CSI gory.
It's just like people getting shot. It's not a.
Yeah, there's a little bit of blood.
They're not being.
It's just like somebody getting shot.
Not a big deal.
Just play that down like it's nothing.
A lot of the more extreme violence is with the alien creatures.
Right,
like
the fighting between the two.
Oh, another thing. Me and Dad thought I was retarded when the.
Go ahead.
Big
throw
metal.
Your dad under the bus.
Oh, the radio thing, the metal not falling.
Oh,
over
the
in pain, just
yeah. They use car cables to get.
Oh,
to
hook
all
it up
way
to the flagpole?
From
yeah.
the classroom of the school
that.
To a flagpole. And we're like, do
yeah,
we just make them extra long in Boston just in case this happens? Like
that is not, yeah. If you're a ham radio operator, that is totally not how to build an antenna.
No way, shape, or form.
And the other thing, just to go with the flow, Ben was writhing in pain on the ground.
And
this the one gal the stands up and says, you got to see this. It's beautiful. And you don't see anything. Then when they show it, it's.
It's the big metal thing that's just walking away. They're not on the ground, like, sparking or anything. They're just like, all right,
turn
see you later.
No, but that's the first away. Time that, well, they felt like they were running away. So they
yeah,
thought there was some
motion.
Fear.
With
that's
Ben,
what the beauty was. Is that they thought they were
suddenly.
Yeah,
Ben was closer
that was
to the
completely
unrealistic. The robots would be crumbling.
Yeah.
Ben was closer to a signal. It hurt him worse. Just, I don't know.
That close there
I
would
thought
be.
It was
no.
Movie magic.
Ridiculous.
Come on.
That close there.
They don't have a multi-billion-dollar budget for a movie.
Apparently they need one.
I got to put in my collecting tidbit. I don't know if you caught it, but the first episode, I had to rewind and go back to the planning conference with the colonel.
Oh, yeah, they're
Maya.
Using Star Wars
they're
figures.
Star Wars figures.
I saw that. I was like, yes! Well, you got to remember, you know, this is they have to use what they can find.
Yeah,
so someone apparently had a Star Wars collection.
And some of these guys are ex-military, so and there's no telling. And most of them are retired even. So
yeah.
They're just they're just using the resources they have available.
I think it's weird that I get, like, the kids aren't, like, being in part of the militia.
Them are some brave kids.
The youngest one is 12.
No, Max was.
Max
I
didn't do anything.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, he does not yet. Stop talking. Okay, but, like, I get that they don't have the kids doing nothing much. They don't have the women and old people and stuff. But what about the civilians that are men? Like, why aren't they training at least?
Tom is a civilian.
I think every guy is pretty much carrying a gun and doing something.
An ex-military
English
professor.
There's always that annoying parent. That was
I
a dad that showed up, like, just to complain a lot.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
it's
shoot something.
Parents that want to get involved are the ones that, because the captain's name is Weaver. He's not just going to say, okay, everybody come in, grab a weapon, and go. He's going to want, you know, like you said, to be trained a little bit
right.
and then get put in.
Will Patton.
Well,
Captain Weaver is played by Will Patton,
okay.
who was in Armageddon, The Postman, and
yeah, he's in several
Entrapment
movies.
And Titans. He's
and
a,
I
he's
think
a pretty
it's
big
weird
star.
That they gave. Like, I don't know. How did Jimmy end up with being a soldier?
The little kid?
I think it's just kind of one of those, they used them.
Like,
used some of the people
I'm
that they
sick,
had because
there were kids, like, his age and, like, older that they didn't use.
I think it was an orphan. It's kind of what I got.
Because Weaver was
an
his papa.
Was it Jimmy? Because he kind of went to Weaver and was kind of looking
the
at
the one who ends up actually
figure.
Being killed later on that was hanging around with Ben.
Jimmy's okay. adorable.
Okay.
Aww.
Sorry.
He's got long hair.
I don't want to ruin that.
But it's not too long.
So if you long hair, excuse me, if you have long hair, you're adorable. You're
going
to
watch a post-apocalyptic show
no.
and say, oh, she's wearing good makeup.
That is what I do. No, it depends on how you have long hair.
Okay.
Wow, she's styling. She's got two different color shoes on.
You know, they did kind of, you know, honestly, they did have kind of nice clothing for being a post-apocalyptic.
That's true.
Well, you know, you got dang it.
No,
they were in a mall.
Yeah, at one point they
did. An underground mall.
Not in the first season.
No, not in the first season.
Which is what we're reviewing.
I'm trying not to give it
away.
Yeah, they do talk about raiding. You know, several times they talk about raiding supply depots.
I like how people thought it was all wrong.
Armories.
The hardest thing to get was fuel.
Yes.
Because no refineries were running.
Right. And I think one of the key concepts is this is a drama, not an action.
Right.
It's
kind of a
drama
most of
action.
It's about 80-20.
Drama action. You noticed in the first few episodes, there's almost regular attacks to a degree. And then in the middle episodes, it kind of lessens. And you might have one skitter or one mech. And then at the end, here comes the battles again. So they put more in there. You want to get me talking with my hands?
Don't take a picture.
So it's kind of
so do
one
I.
Of
don't worry about it.
It's one of those where it's understandable because that's what a lot of TV shows do.
Oh,
they
I heard that.
They go from, you know, they want to get you into it at the first.
Right.
And then they get the drama. And then at the end, they want to ramp it back up because they want
to
make
get
sure
you
come back
one.
For next season. Mm-hmm. So it's an understandable model, but
looks like you're trying to conjure up a Kamehameha wave.
What?
Call me.
Wow.
Sorry.
Dragon Ball Z.
I didn't get that until you two.
Okay.
You made no sense.
You don't.
I knew exactly what he was talking about.
But I don't know what it's called.
It depends on if you watch Dragon Ball Kai or the Dragon Ball post or pre-Kai.
What about Dragon Ball Z?
I'm pretty sure that's pre-Kai.
Hi. You got to get her in on that one.
I hate Dragon
but
Ball Z. I'm
sorry.
Sorry.
I didn't mean to do that. Go ahead with your review.
Nope. Throw that one in there. Why
it's
not?
Horrible.
This is what makes it fun. Chris is like laughing so hard he's crying.
Trying not to.
As I said, it is a little violent. I would say late teens, maybe, you know, high schoolish, kind of depending
freshman.
On what they're into.
Now, I watched this at home, and my kid, my oldest, who's in sixth grade, is just totally uninterested in it, so.
And it may be. It may just be one of those. It's too much drama for him.
Because it's not retarded.
Because
like
it's not.
And
it's not an action movie. Oh, God. Don't go there.
Oh.
My son loves that show.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you.
Yes, I know. But
Dad likes it,
the
too.
The sad part is that she knows it.
Yes, that's the sad part of it.
I had him watch half of a show once.
Dad.
And
I
she hated you ever for it, didn't she?
I wanted to shoot myself when I saw the whatever he is. That's supposed to be like a onesie pajamas.
I don't know. We're not talking about that show.
Oh,
let's never mention that show again.
So bad.
Every time we want to set April off, we will.
Okay.
But yeah, as a teen, you know, late freshmanish age, that 14,
high
15, high school age, because they're going to get the drama part of it where maybe younger aren't going to understand kind
of
that.
Yeah, all they understand
drama.
Is Jersey Shore.
I like the feeling. Is Jersey Shore?
What?
Listen,
no.
We're talking about Falling Skies. Do not mention any other show but Falling Skies.
Hit the mute button, will you?
There's a 9-year-old that has all of the episodes of Jersey Shore from all the seasons on her iPad.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the show.
And she watches them all over again.
Oh, God, help us.
But no,
we're teaching the children.
I can see the younger high school age, like April's age, and maybe even a sophomore, maybe not getting into it as much. Like you said upper high school, Chris.
Yeah.
And like you said, Matt, with they'd be more to get into the drama. It's not a drama as the high school dramas are that are on the CW and stuff like Beverly Hills 90210 with all the high school drama. It's more of a serious how to survive drama.
I was getting ready to say, what keeps me watching the show is this urgency to get to the next place.
Right.
They're always on the run. Very nomadic. No, is that the word I want to use?
I know what nomad.
No, yeah.
Right.
I don't know if nomadic's the right word or not. they're nomads.
They keep. You know, they're trying to find a safe place. But as long as they keep moving, they'll be
right.
Safe.
Because for a while they're held up in a school. They've held up several different places.
Now
in season two, they do the same.
The
thing.
The best place they were held up in was that hospital.
That's in season two.
That'd be beast.
Okay.
That's like.
And in the underground mall.
I think, yeah, a mall.
Throwing that in there.
That's
season two.
If that happened.
I've never heard of an underground mall.
I'm talking.
Oh.
Okay.
Not anymore.
There's also zombies.
Oh. Funny. Okay, so.
Go ahead.
If this actually happened in real life, I think a mall would be like a perfect spot.
Well, it's a good place
because
for a while.
Because you got all them stores.
Matt and I were thinking about this the other day. Where would you go if there was ever an alien invasion or a zombie attack or whatever? Matt said he was going for the sporting goods section at Walmart. I said I'm headed to a pharmacy.
But
I was going to drop him off and pick him up on the way back.
There you go.
I'm going for ammunition,
baby.
But
see, with the mall, there could be like a drugstore
in
there or something.
Right, but you got to think of it as in the way of defense. A mall would probably be a very horrible place to defend.
But it's underground.
But it has all those stores.
But it has all the stuff you need.
It could look super cute at the same time.
Think of it this way. Yeah. Think of it this way. If you're
during
the one
a riot, you're grabbing the first pair of clothes, aren't you?
Yeah.
you think of it this way, April. If you're the attacker, where's the first places you're gonna look for survivors?
Their population
house.
Centers,
a mall.
Do the attackers have a sensible idea of what humans think like?
Because
zombies are brain dead, and aliens barely know what humans are.
Well,
don't talk about
it actually in this show kind of seems like the aliens have some intelligence as to the way humans are.
I'm going to give you
that's
a nap.
Why they invaded.
A what? Nap.
A nap.
You're going to give me
we're
a nap?
We're going to give you a timeout.
Yeah,
how do you do that?
But I would say we're if we want to wrap it up, that this is definitely an interesting show if you kind of like shows like or even movies like Born on the 4th of July.
If you're a technically funny person, it's like a comedy.
Or not Born on the 4th of July, the Independence Day. I don't know what movie I want.
That
okay,
is the 4th
Day,
of July.
Yeah.
Is Deliverance funny to you?
She hasn't seen it.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know if I've seen that or not. You have to tell me something about the movie, and then I'll tell you if I've seen it. I know that song.
Okay, I guess we're done.
I don't know what it's called.
That is definitely from Deliverance, but I think this would appeal to, I don't know, anybody that likes, you know, like movies like Independence Day. I don't know what genre you'd kind of put this under.
You know what?
If it has one.
Drama, action.
Independence Day is more action.
Sci-fi, survivalist, drama.
Well, yeah. Kind of a little sci-fi.
No, I would say it's drama, survivalist, sci-fi.
Is survivalist actually a genre?
I don't know. That's why we were
that's what
we were trying to classify it.
It's a subgenre. Usually of sci-fi is the post-apocalyptic scenario.
So
does Pretty Little Liars go under that category?
That
we're talking about
weird.
Fallen Skies.
Quit talking about season 2.
We're not. We're talking about season 1.
At least it's Fallen Skies.
I would say it's more sci-fi drama.
This would probably appeal, probably people that like that type of stuff. Or it's a hard one to nail down.
It is. Then just as talking about this, I'm kind of thinking, wow, this is kind of hard to nail down. And
I think
may be why it is a very popular show.
Don't
worry about it.
No, what? I didn't see it.
That may be why this is a popular show as to why people want to watch it. It appeals to
so many different
areas.
So I would say with Pride Win and Fallen Skies, we both say, you know, if you can fit it into your budget, pick it up for your libraries and put them in your collection. See what happens with them. I think people
will understand
enjoy
they
them.
Won't appeal to everybody.
Right, they're not going to appeal to everybody, but there's.
But you'll get someone who will check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
For the most part.
Or just sit in the corner reading it.
What? This is a TV series.
Well, we're talking about Pride Win.
He mentioned Pride Win also.
I thought we were still talking about Fallen Skies. Like, how do you read that?
But I think that about wraps it up for this go around, unless there's anything else subject-wise specific that needs to be said.
No.
Thank you.
Are you going to tell them what we're reviewing next?
Yes, I will. Time around, we will be...
Give him the book so we can actually tell him.
What
some
is that?
Weird music that April wants to listen to.
On our next episode, we will be reviewing Callahan's Cross Time Saloon by Spider Robinson and the album Marina and the Diamonds, Electra Heart. So join us again for another episode. Remember, always like us on Facebook if you can and tell everybody about us. We're having fun, so hopefully everybody else is having fun. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye. Night. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say.
you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.